Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Barb Gretsch. I'm your host for today, and I'm speaking with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, and the author of Critical Issues Commentary. In this current series, we have been reviewing a current book, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. We've been discussing the claims that Comer makes and comparing those claims to what the Bible says. And we've found some differences there, haven't we, Bob?
Yeah, there's a lot of difference. In fact, significant ones.
Yes, and we're to the point in our review where we've made it through the introduction, and we're looking at the early part of his book where he has laid down a definition for a disciple, or as he prefers and chooses to call them, apprentices. And he has shared with us that there are three goals of being an apprentice of Jesus, and they are written on the front of his book and also printed in the book on page 10, be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. Bob, yes. What is wrong with this idea? How is this different than what the Bible has laid out for disciples of Jesus?
Well, he's playing loose with language and context and meaning, and equivocation is everywhere. I notice when I do one of these books, I mark it up with on every page, and often comments that we can use later if we do what we're doing here, which is the radio or the podcast version. The equivocation everywhere. When you equivocate, you're using a word in a different way than what was intended by the original author, in this case, Matthew, or whichever gospel he's looking at. And the equivocation creates confusion and false categories that really can't be used in a way that would bring about the idea of actually being a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, let's just look at his claims. Be with Jesus. Well, there's the first issue of serious equivocation. He's looking at Jesus's actual disciples who he called and who were physically with him and taught by him. And they were being taught by him objectively, face to face. He was there speaking with them. They were eyewitnesses. They have a very important role. They will be the early apostles. And sticking with Matthew, you go to Matthew 16 and the rock, the building of the church, and the promises, and the idea of binding and loosing, which is speaking, teaching, is authoritative and binding that we must listen to if we're going to be with Jesus in the sense of ultimately being born again and when we die, going to be with him. And when he returns, sets up his kingdom, will reign with him. There are many things that are important, but we'll never be exactly like those disciples. So I'm saying there's equivocation there because we're not going to be apostles. We've already done a series on the Apostles and Prophets movement, and that's a false movement. There are no modern-day apostles and prophets like the biblical ones, despite the claims of some. So be with Jesus. Well, we will, but we aren't now.
Okay, so Comer does not distinguish between the apostles and those who would come later when they are instructed to make disciples Comer does not distinguish between those two.
Not at all. In fact, by changing the term to apprentice from disciple, now it requires that you literally are going to be with him, seeing what he does, hearing what he says, watching him practice these things. It requires more than simply learning about him through a secondary source, that is, the apostles and what their writings are. So the apprentice, and we talked about this in one of our previous episodes, he is the example of a plumber's apprentice. Well, you're not going to be a plumber's apprentice in the sense that he's talking about, a literal one, if you can't even see the plumber that's teaching you. You can't see him work with the pipes and the tools that he uses and the principle. You can't see them. You can't be with him because he's not there. You may read somebody's book about being a plumber, or now we have video, but we don't even have video of Jesus because they didn't have that technology back then. They wrote a book about what they experienced. So this be with him is equivocation. He means be with him in a sense that they were, which we cannot do. We mean be with him in a sense that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit and
Okay.
that we love Christ and we pray to him and that he's seated at the right hand of God. We have access to the throne of grace, but that's not going to help with this apprenticeship thing.
Okay, that's very helpful to have that explained to us. Now, someone who's reading this book and getting the idea that they can be with Jesus, you're kind of ripping the rug out from under them in a way, do you
Well,
think?
so be it, because this whole push to go to the East is insidious and harmful. So the way they try to be with him, and he got the apprenticeship idea from Dallas Willard. So I reread my article on Willard again and looked at some of the things that he's promoting. They're gaining their ideas from Eastern mysticism. And they think you can be with Jesus by doing this yoke, what Willard called a yoke. And it's doing these spiritual disciplines, never commanded by the Lord, never prescribed by the Lord, but they dream these up, like solitude, silence, severe treatment of the body, things that try to get into a different state of consciousness where you might actually feel more like Jesus is there with you.
Yes. So
So,
to receive a correction and to hear that you're not going to be with Jesus in the way that Comer is presenting, it's so much more important to know the truth of what the promises of God are in the scriptures, that that's a good thing to understand how we can come to God on his terms. Bob, I'd like to reference that article that you wrote on the study of Dallas Willard's spiritual disciplines. That was your CIC issue 91. And I would definitely recommend that because it's very helpful in reviewing those disciplines, or as Comer refers to them, the practices that they recommend.
I think so too. I went and reread it, and definitely Willard is his source, in which he acknowledges. But if you're going to use a source, which is a good thing to do, it isn't just enough to acknowledge it. You need to find a good source, not a false teacher. So why go to a false teacher to learn these things? And Willard is definitely a false teacher, and I demonstrate that in my article. And another one he mentions is Foster, another false teacher. Henry Nouwen, another false teacher. Rob Bell, another false teacher. In fact, there aren't too many false teachers. I mean, as you look at the recent trend of mysticism, he's really gone to a lot of them. But so be it. That's the trend, but it's a bad trend. It's a trend away from the faith once for all handed down to the saints, as a trend away from objective reality. It's a trend away from true discipleship, which we need to define. That will help us see that what he's saying is not really discipleship. It's mysticism, imagining what Jesus would say, imagining what it would be like to be with him, imagining that he's that you're going to be Jesus someday and do what he did. And as a matter of fact, the fullness that will come after the resurrection. The promises have to do with the future reality, which is what Jesus told his disciples in John 14 when they were saying, "We want to go with you." And he said, "Where I go, you cannot come. But I'll come again and bring you to myself." So it's over-realized eschatology. You don't have to wait. You can already be with Jesus, but in your imagination.
Yes, and Comer has a different definition for disciple, and I would recommend another resource to our listeners, and that's an article, a CIC article that you wrote about a year ago, Bob, issue 142, The Great Commission in Matthew, Understanding Authorial Intent. In that article, Bob looks at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and he goes through the book of Matthew and helps us to see how Matthew, the Spirit-inspired author, defined a disciple, and that Matthew's definition is different from the one that's been referred to in church history often, and also the one that Mark Comer is using. Bob, can you tell us more about authorial intent and how that might help us in seeing the error in what we're reading here?
Yes, absolutely. Here's that article. This is the three-column version that we make it in. There's HTML on the website. It's called The Great Commission in Matthew, Understanding Authorial Intent. Now, when I wrote this, the main error that I was correcting in the article is the idea that you can disciple a nation as a geopolitical entity. And that has been prevalent throughout church history. And a nation is not a disciple, a person is. So, in that regard, we can agree with Comer, a disciple's a person. So, his error is different, but it's still error. But in going through this, and this article is actually similar to a theological journal article, I follow the Greek, and I expound relevant passages and bring things to their conclusion by going through each phrase in the Great Commission, including the things leading up to the commissioning, such as the fact they worshiped him. In fact, that'd be a good place to start. Matthew 28:17. I'll read it to you. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful, and I write about that in the article. The doubting there means that even true disciples go through trials and trials of faith. And that doesn't mean they're not disciples. But here, they worshiped him. Here's a big problem with Comer. Only Jesus is the object of worship. God is the object of worship, but he's God incarnate. And he receives worship. It's proof of the deity of Christ. Deity doesn't have apprentices. So
That's a good point.
so there's a big problem right there. Jesus is unique. Every passage in the New Testament, or in the whole Bible for that matter, when you look at the passages in the Old Testament about the visible manifestations of Yahweh, some which are related to Christ himself, as in the I am statements in John. This is God. God doesn't have apprentices. So you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to be Jesus. Jesus did things no one else did. They said that about him. And in so doing, for example, predicting his own death, burial, and resurrection, and being raised on the third day and so on, these are unique, and they proved his deity. So if others could do what he did, they could prove to be deity as well. But they can't, and they don't. But there is the Eastern religion problem. The denial of the uniqueness of the triune God of the Bible. The idea that reality is a state of consciousness. And you can somehow use techniques to become one with what you consider deity. Now, Comer's not here to deny he's teaching these things, but he's surely not helping people understand what is really true. How can you become like him other than in an analogical way? You can't be like him in a sense of an ontological way, which means the order of being. Because we're created, he is the creator. So there's a bunch of problems there. So become like him. They worshiped him. So he didn't say to the disciples, when you go, people are going to worship you because you're my apprentices.
What happened when people tried to worship the
Oh, they
true
tore their
disciples?
robes and protested in Acts. Read Acts, and you'll see that they wouldn't accept that sort of thing. So he's probably not going to say that's the case, but he doesn't do anything but in regard to seeing that people might get that idea, seeing the fact that so much of the Eastern religions are being promoted throughout the West, which is a place he seems to hate, because he's always got a negative idea about rationality in the West. So this Eastern religion is everywhere. Panentheism, God is in everything, is everywhere. That's what progressives are all about. So why would you not assume the people reading your book who are already immersed in Eastern religion culture, even in evangelical churches, Eastern religion has made its inroads. You can see that in the article I wrote about Willard. The book that I critiqued there was given to me because it was required reading in a theological setting at a Bible college. Okay? And this is what the evangelicals are requiring people to learn. Willard stuff, which is Eastern religion, now manipulated to look appealing to evangelicals. So this is really a problem. Yes, people will think that way. Yes, they will think they can be little Christ and be tuned into some panentheistic version. Maybe he doesn't believe that. I assume he doesn't. Then come out, tell us, and make it very clear. You'll never be Jesus. You can be the finest disciple. You'll never even be an apostle because you weren't with him. You weren't appointed by him. You didn't see everything he did. They did. You didn't. Say that. And if Comer would come out and say that and make the what needs to be made as far as a disclaimer, I wouldn't be so passionate about rejecting this, because I've already studied emergent church and they don't make the decision because they are panentheists. Maybe he's not, but he cites the same sources and promotes some of the same ideas.
Interesting. Yes, and as you said, become like Jesus. Comer does not distinguish Jesus as exceptional, as the only begotten of the Father. He is not exalted in that way. He is put forth as one whom we can emulate and do the practices that Jesus did. So I guess that's the third item that he places as a goal for the apprentices. Comer says, not only be with Jesus, become like him, but do as he did.
Yes, and we'll have to get into that next week as we're running out of time, but we'll talk about that. And did Jesus do anything unique that no mere fallen man can do? And we'll answer that question. And if he did, then this false advertising that if you follow his program, you can do as Jesus did. We'll address that next time.
Great. That's a good place to wrap up then. We are out of time for today. We want to remind you that you can access this program and many others, as well as years worth of articles, at the website cicministry.org. And we want to remind all of you, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel. For Critical Issues Commentary, this has been Barb Gretch and
Bob DeWay.
And we'll see you next time.